following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Gavin.
Hello.
I have Charlie Saladino.
How you doing?
And we have sitting in as just a special co-host today.
Guest Shemp.
Yes, Caitlin Rose Poteet.
Hello.
I don't know why I keep on saying Rose.
Because you're dumb.
You have
air.
No idea how many different ways my name has been said over the years.
But the problem is, I always say Ross every other time, except when I'm on the air, I say Rose.
You know why? Because you're starting with the DJ voice. And welcome to... And it's sort of... And Caitlin,
getting
Rose.
Into phonetics.
Yeah.
It must be. Or maybe it's just because it's my shtick.
Yeah, keep your shtick out of it, man. This is a family show.
Okay.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see us on the in-studio webcam.
Though we don't know why you would.
Well, I would know.
Must be pretty boring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyone who's watching that is a serial killer. Those are the only ones who have that kind of time.
No, but
people have that kind of time.
I must say, when I couldn't make it, I put on the webcam and I talked to you guys on the phone.
Aww.
So
yeah, it's like
fine.
There.
You're on the show. That's there. Different. That's
okay,
different.
I'm all right.
Yeah. Anybody
Even
else?
Though I got the three dead bodies in my trunk.
Well,
okay.
See, that's your fault. Now you just confess.
But no, I recall a couple of years back, they had Don Imus had a TV show.
And those shows never last that long. They only last like 9 or 10, 20 years or something like that.
Don't even say Imus, because Howard Stern created that whole genre. Imus is just a copycat. That's all.
I don't even know why you would want to watch Howard Stern for that.
I'm just saying he did that first.
It was done.
Hypocrite who was totally against him.
Here's the thing. Howard Stern's a celebrity, so you would maybe want to watch a celebrity doing his shtick live, but we're not. So anyone's going to watch four people talking to a microphone on the air where they could be listening to us and doing something else active with their visual senses, that's just serial killer-ish.
Well, that actually goes to people who don't want to be tied to their computer. They can have their smartphones and listen to us on the show.
Nicely done, Mark. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Mark, what's in the news?
Please.
It is Sunburst Month over here at It Came From the Radio.
Who says?
I say, and it's my show.
That's better.
Because of which, my character Sunburst is teaming up with RZG Comics, their flagship character Phaser, and Phaser Crossover number 2, due out this month. So that's exciting.
And now, a shameless segment by Mark Torres.
Also, not to be outdone, Red Amble's
by himself.
War of the Independents also features my character in a smaller role, mixing it up with other independent creators,
mopping
characters
the floor.
Such as Ant, the Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby, and Pokey. Issues 1 and 2 of the 6-issue series, written by artist and writer Dave Ryan, is out in comic book stores right now.
That's a good lineup. Mark, what's your character's name?
It's Sunburst.
Right. For Sunburst, this is Sunburst month.
Yeah.
Right, so that would be apropos.
Yeah. See,
well done.
It wasn't like Invisible Woman month.
That wouldn't make any sense.
That would
exactly.
be useless.
Yeah. Well, yeah, where is she? Is she here? She's here right now,
yeah,
I'm telling
exactly.
you.
Exactly. She's in the corner. You can see her on the webcam, but not really. And if that isn't enough Sunburst, you can also check her out in RZG Comics' War of the Independents trading card set, which is a perfect companion to the series.
Is that on the table right there?
That's
what the webcam's for.
Right, for serial killers who are in
we
the cards.
Figured it out.
So, can
we get her?
Exactly.
We will find her, and we will kill her.
Righty, so moving along.
We're going
to the real news now.
Such a shame. I love the Shameless segment. I really am a fan of it.
Dr. Seuss's The Lorax raked in $70.7 million in its first weekend, making it the biggest box office debut of the year.
So far, that in my wallet.
Ow.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. It beat out the previous record holder, which was The Vow, for those of you who didn't know, which brought in $41.2 million. Did
really?
You see The Vow?
And I didn't even hear anything about that movie.
I had the misfortune of seeing that movie. My friend and I had nothing to do on a Saturday night, and that was the only movie that seemed somewhat doable.
It wasn't at all.
I don't know what it
would
it
not
was,
be done.
It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. It was 2 hours of awkward combined with a really bad romantic comedy and
Wait, yeah. The Vow is a romantic comedy?
No. I mean, there are parts of it that try to be because it's so depressing that they have to add in horrible jokes at some point.
Oh, wow.
But it's pretty much just awkward. Oh, God.
But it made a ton of money, though, right? It got beat by the Lorax.
$41.2 million. Mm.
Well, they had...
Well, people are dumb.
People...
Wait, there I was.
Well, no.
She didn't like it. She's one of the people.
I deserved what I got.
She's not repeat business, though. Oh, okay. And that's what the $41 million is for repeat business.
They had a notable cast. I think that's what sucked everybody in.
Well, yeah. I liked Rachel McAdams until she started getting nothing but this kind of movie.
Yeah.
Well, she was in Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
that's kind true. Kind of.
She was in the first one and kind of the second one.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I actually like her a lot. I mean, I fell in love with her in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way she should be going.
That's what I hold
know,
on
the
to.
The comedy stuff. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Let us sing a dirge for Rachel McAdams. I think she's all right. I think she's still pretty relevant. She's still in
she's totally in two movies
this year.
What's the
saying?
She ain't that bad, remember?
She ain't that bad.
So speaking of people who aren't that bad.
Mr. Segway.
If you recall, a few weeks ago, we reported that director Julie Taymor was being countersued by the producers of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Well, it turns out now Ms. Taymor is claiming in court papers that she was the victim of a conspiracy to unfairly push her out of the production, that her one-time collaborators were secretly working on a rival script behind her back.
Wow.
Let's go to lunch and not tie this thing off, and we'll blame the director.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well done.
The court papers say, quote, secretly conspiring to oust Taymor and use change in her work without pay, the producers also fraudulently induced Taymor to continue working and to diligently make improvements. So,
then that went well.
Yep.
She makes really good Shakespearean movies.
Okay.
Like she made Titus Andronicus, yeah. Great movie. She made the Tempest, I think, just recently, and the Magician. She makes the Shakespeare movie.
That's
not Shakespeare. Mark, that's not Shakespeare. Mark, it's not Shakespeare.
Shakespeare for the kids.
No, it's not. There's not enough death in it to call it Shakespeare.
Speaking of death.
I'm not even going to try anymore.
The Steven Spielberg classic.
Steven Spielberg's dead?
No.
Oh, no.
Terra Nova has finally been canceled after one season.
Oh, slow death.
The series was one of Fox's big budget hopes this year, so huge that the network had to order a full run of episodes just to keep the cost down.
Right. And so close to Avatar that no one watched it. including having the villain of Avatar in the TV show as a protagonist.
Which, by the way,
Comic-Con.
Yeah, he almost ran over Charlie at the convention.
Oh, he was a jerk? Yeah. Was he jerkish?
No, we were waiting for the interview
with Mark Hamill.
He had a little jerkish quality.
And he was tall.
He's a big guy.
Like, hey, there he goes.
He's been in movies forever, too. He's very chameleon-like. So it's just recently he's been getting the kind of recognition that
he's supposed to get.
Would actually ironically limit his roles in Hollywood because now everybody knows who he is, so they don't want him to do.
I want that tough guy with the white hair.
Exactly.
Hey, Mark, did you hear that DC Comics is bringing back Shazam, formerly Captain Marvel?
I was unaware of that.
And the question would be, why?
I just read that.
So from the desk of Charlie Saladino?
From my desk to your desk to everybody's ear.
Everybody.
The world.
All
the world,
two of them.
Yes. And I know people would just want to run out and buy that comic now. Not me. I'm not.
Other people.
Not me.
Not Charlie. I don't want it, but maybe you want it. Not me. I don't want it, but maybe you want it.
Yeah, maybe people who say, wow.
Anybody not named Charlie will want this comic book.
Yes.
Alrighty.
What are we, too goofy over here? Keep going.
Speaking of comic books.
Mr. Sabin.
Conservative group 1 Million Moms urging Toys R Us to stop selling an issue of Life of Archie, which is number 16, depicting the wedding of their comic's first openly gay character, Kevin
Keller.
I refuse
to take them seriously until they're 1,000,001 moms.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
So add one more mom, and I'll give their demographics.
That'll be that straw. One mom.
Uh-oh. They got 1,000,001. They're serious.
Enough weight. With that.
So they're saying that...
Just don't buy the book.
Why? Do I?
There's gay people everywhere.
Oh, but
it's real. Deal with it, people. That's all. Just deal with it. Deal with it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It needs to stop. It needs to stop.
That's what they're saying.
They need to stop. Oh, look. Hey, what's going on today? I hate the gays. That's what I know.
I hate the gays. They say, quote, it is unfair
for them
to have to answer questions their kids may ask
God.
About the world around them while
God
standing
forbid
in a
you have to explain
store.
To your children that there are things out there that maybe you do or do not agree with that are slightly different from how you were raised.
Perhaps they should have looked up what parenting actually was before they decided to have children.
That's a lost cause. All they want to do is just have kids and push them out the door and have them go out and learn their Brady Bunch, lifestyle.
And
come home. Yeah. And
don't forget your bubble, kids.
Yeah. And come home and grow up and raise, a whole bunch of other Brady Bunch type people. And they want a whole Brady Bunch world, and it just doesn't. It never existed. It didn't even exist when the Brady Bunch was getting ratings. It never existed.
No, because the cast of the Brady Bunch was all sleeping together.
Absolutely. And the father was gay. I mean, give me a break. How much more do you need? How much more proof do you need that the world is not the world you see on television?
So stay home, mothers. Seriously. Yeah.
How many moms are buying Archie comics for their kids anyway?
They don't say to not buy it. They don't want it there to expose their children.
Oh, well, too bad. It's going to be there. You know why? Because it's the world of the free market, and the free market says that everybody gets to gets to make a buck, and everybody can ply their wares everywhere. And
even
that's the world
people.
That they want to live with, because they want smaller government and they want all this other stuff. So they have to live with the fact that the free market and corporations are free to do whatever they want, whatever's going to make money. And if selling comics about Archie being gay, which I know that's not the subject matter, is going to make them money, then that's what they're going to do, and we're just going to have to deal with it.
And if they're worried about their kids seeing this out there, well, then you got to take your newspapers off the newsstands, because every time they pass that, there's an amazing headline, So.
Well, the Archie executives had something to say about this, and they kind of agree with Hassan in their own Archie way. They say,
because they're smart.
We stand by Life of Archie. Riverdale is a safe, welcoming place that does not judge anyone. It is an ideal version of America that will someday hopefully become a reality. We're sorry that the 1 million moms feel so negatively about our product, but they have every right to their opinion, just like we have the right to stand by ours. Kevin Keller will forever be a part of Riverdale, and he will live a happy, long, love life free of prejudice, hate, and narrow-minded people.
Yay. Yeah, on the reverse side, what a shock that the creators disagree with the protesters. That's so odd. Did you just never see that?
Yeah, they never this is a bad idea.
This is terrible. I don't even know why we're doing this. But we're making a bag of money. So that's all that matters.
All right, so speaking of a bag of money. Joshua Thompson, a security technician from Michigan, has decided to file a class action lawsuit against AMC Theaters, alleging that snack prices are just too high.
This is a really recent, amazing discovery.
Listen, we're going to do this one more time, okay? And this is, I swear this would be the last time I ever mention this.
Until next time.
It's a very radical idea I have, but you cannot go. You could choose
not by snacks.
To go, or you could not stuff your face when you go to the movies.
Very true.
It's not your living room. It is an establishment where you are to sit and watch a conveyance of information in moving sequential
images
format, which is a word I was looking for. Oh, that's all it is. That's all movies are. It's an entertainment. It's an entertainment medium. It doesn't mean that you get to sit there with a giant big gulp and your shoes off and wolf down a steak sandwich. And
that's the next level of big gulp.
There are giant big gulps.
There are some pretty giant big gulps. To the point where it's like, why don't you just go out and buy a bottle?
Use a pitcher. Just get a pitcher and walk around with a pitcher.
This guy walked out with a big gulp, like I'm sure he's still drinking it, and that was last week. You know, it's like what's the next size going to be? The water tank big gulp? You know, just put a straw right.
Yeah,
into
because it comes with a bathing suit.
Yeah,
it's so big it comes with a bathing suit.
And I mean, I hate to advertise. Technically illegal behavior, but how big is a bag of gummy bears? Like, you can't just shove them in your pocket and not,
that's a whole different animal right there.
Or, but, you know.
Well, that, when I did my tenure on the front lines there, that people wanted to do was sneak food in to the movie theater.
For those of you who aren't keeping track. Hassan was having a great time as a security officer in a movie theater.
Yes.
Stopping people like you.
It was a summer internship.
Wait. That
yeah,
was...
jerks like you. Trying to sneak in with gummy bears.
Going to
wait,
watch
they
the
had
battle.
Security for that?
Huh?
They had security for that?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
Let me explain.
Okay.
There was a lot of crazy stuff that happened there. And the number one offense that people tried was to sneak food in.
I'm sure.
And that was an all-day affair.
I mean, what with these prices and all?
Of course, yeah, yes. And they should have just sued. They should get smart and sue.
How did you, like, if the gummy bears or something was in a woman's bag?
Because the woman or man or whomever, because it's not a gender thing, would inadvertently take the gummies out. At some point.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like the serial killer thing. I'm back to that.
It's
where
my
they just
trophy.
Need to get caught. They really want to get caught.
Because I was saying, how could you, you know, like, search them, like,
he could smell the food.
He could smell the food. I got so good at it. I knew there was contraband. You are.
A jacket one time, and I went to the movies, and I. All of a sudden, I found a bag of Snickers that were in
here. You just found it.
It's Halloween.
I had no idea.
How did I get that?
That Snickers was warm.
Ew.
It could have been worse. Could have been Cheeses of the World.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. Why would you put those in your pocket?
They've become even more worldly.
You get a wedge of cheese in your pocket.
Who says this he put it later. In there? He just said he found it.
Someone else slipped the cheese in the pocket.
He didn't want to get caught, and then, you know, he gives it to him.
I'll hold that for another time.
Case I get hungry.
So
on the long, lonely road to redemption.
So the guy who filled out this lawsuit, he has a lawyer, and the lawyer says,
this is the dumbest case I've ever been given, but I'm going to make a bag of money off of it, so I'm going to take it.
Yes.
The lawyer says, quote, he got tired of being taken advantage of.
Oh, my God. He's a victim.
And it's so hard to justify the prices that are 3, maybe 4 times higher than anywhere else.
Maybe even 4 times higher. And he has to. He's got no choice. They won't let him in the theater unless he's got a handful of snacks.
That's right. It's a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 10-snack minimum. That's...
Give me a break.
I wish I got a quarter of a penny for every time I was taken advantage of. I would be a billionaire already.
That's a sad story.
That sounds awful.
Yes.
Right. I had a joke too. My joke was so great, and it would have gotten us canceled. So I'm glad.
When you're a poor child in the ghetto, growing up in the ghetto, this is what happens to you.
I didn't see you in the ghetto.
Oh,
were you in the ghetto?
Yes, I was.
He was in the other ghetto.
He was on the other side of the ghetto. Yeah. He was in the Warsaw ghetto.
My friend Joey Ghetto.
Joey Ghetto. All right, well done. All right, touche.
So now we have some sad news, which Hassan is the expert on, so why don't you convey us with the sad news for today?
Gas is like almost $5 a gallon.
That's your sad
news? That's the sad news
for
me.
The Star Wars guy.
I got to come from the Bronx. I know who you're talking about. Right. Star Wars guy. Ralph McQuarrie, the person who did all the conceptual artwork for Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica. And a number of other things. All three of the original trilogy films died. I forget exactly what day he died. I think he died on Friday. He was 86 years old. He was either 86 or 82. I didn't bring my facts with me. It's all over the internet, though. You can find it very easily, but it's extremely sad.
All of our new items are all over the internet.
I know, I know. I just figured I needed some filler right there, so I threw that in. But it's significant for me because the entire way I visualize everything is off of not so much those movies, which are great, but those concept designs, those pieces. Because those were the first things we saw when I was young. Well, I mean, when the first one came out, I was four, so that's not we're not counting that. But as the subsequent sequels came along, the first things that were ever released so that you could see them were his conceptual pieces, and that's what allowed you to really prepare yourself for what was coming. And they're very compelling and very enigmatic and kind of dark, a lot darker than the actual films turned out to be. So that's what made them even more, you know, that give them even more mystique. And very, very powerful stuff, and it's very sad that he's no longer with us.
And it's amazing how the transition from the artwork to what actually came out was...
A lot of things are very close, and then a lot of things are just drastically different, but they're fantastic. And they kind of evoke their own... majesty, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with either Battlestar Galactica or Star Wars. It's fantastic.
So, I guess our thoughts and prayers go out to their families, and we're ready for our break. We'll be right back. We came from the break.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now, we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with Game Fan Radio. This is your host, Mark Toya, speaking along with Charlie Saladino, Hassan Godwin, and Caitlin Ross Poteet.
There you go.
We actually have a caller. He has a show. Limo Talk is Grass. He has a question for us, so say hi, Grass.
Hi, guys. How are you?
How's it going?
How's everything?
Doing good so far.
Good. Yeah, listen, I got an actual couple of questions, and I want to ask you guys if you want to come on. We're looking to do movies on Monday night for like 5 or 10 minutes and stuff that are coming out for the weekend, and I would love to have one of you guys to come on Monday night for 5 or 10 minutes. We do 2 hours, and I got plenty of time. It's total goofball radio, but I'd love to have you guys come on and do movies and stuff with me.
Oh, sure, yeah. I'll have Trevor.
I don't know. This is a serious show. I don't know if we're going to be able to help you, sir.
Well, come on now. I'm a serious show. We were a good, serious show, too. That was good. I like that.
What time is the show?
We're on from 8 to 10.
Oh,
but okay. I have a serious question, too.
All right, what's the
has George
one?
Lucas done anything else besides Star Wars?
Yes.
Else has he done?
He's done American Graffiti, more American Graffiti, Radioland Murders. He's just recently done the Red Tails. He did Willow. He was involved in all four of the Indiana Jones movies.
I love you. Who am I speaking with, by the way?
My name is Montague.
That would be Hassan.
I'm Montague. I'm Graz. How's everything?
It's Wednesday, so things are good for Wednesday.
But I'm serious. I never knew if he did anything else. I had like 3 people ask me.
Yeah,
stupid one. I hang up with people. I go. What did he get? I go. No, 3 Star Wars. That's all he's ever done.
Yeah, actually, he only directed one out of those 3, and then he directed the 3 new ones.
Okay.
And he's mostly produced everything else.
What's he coming out with now? Anything?
No, he's retiring.
So the 3D Star Wars is his last hurrah?
Yeah, he's a bitter old man, and he's retiring now because nobody likes him.
But he's just going to count his money more, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for him, you know, but he is, you know, it's his last outburst was a little kind of...
Montague, what's your favorite movie?
That is a very complicated question that's going to take way too long.
What's your favorite comedy movie?
Joe vs. Volcano.
Did you ever watch Bustin' Loose?
Bustin' Loose, wow.
Have
you ever watched Bustin' Loose? There's a reason why. You know, Trevor's laughing in the background. I'm telling you, it's a good story. you know, I have Blind Jim from Bustin' Loose on. You know who Blind Jim was?
No.
He was the bus driver in the Richard Pryor movie. Oh. Richard Pryor was in that movie. He was the blind bus driver. He was a kid about 20 years ago. He drove from Baltimore. He drove from Philadelphia to Baltimore blind in the van.
Oh my God.
Trev, Monty, you don't believe me, Trev. Tell him it's the truth. At least nod to him.
He's giving us that look. But yeah, we'll get your contact information. We'll do the show for you on Monday. That'd be awesome.
So I would love to have Montague on. Come on, Montague. Come on. We'll have fun.
There you go. There you go, Montague. It's all on you.
I'd be happy to.
I blame you for that.
Come on, Montague.
I'll be happy to.
I'm an old man. I'm 46. I just had my 4th child a week ago.
You personally?
That is impressive.
Oh, my God. Kudos.
And I do the radio show, and they're asking me, hopefully, soon to do overnights. Montague, you will do 1 to 3 in the morning.
Wow.
You'll be a pizza.
I don't know about that. I got a day job, unfortunately.
What do you do?
Huh?
What do you do?
I watch movies all day long.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
Every other word that comes out of his mouth should not be taken seriously.
Oh, really? So he's not? Well, I don't know. I like the show, and I called Trevor. I said, Trevor, you guys are good. He goes, you like them? I go, yeah, I want to talk to them. And he let me on. You guys said yes.
Oh yeah,
God.
Appreciate
well,
you calling
in. It's a pleasure talking to you.
So your show is on Monday nights on GBB?
Yeah, we're on Monday nights from 8 to 10. It's called Limo Talk with Graz. We don't talk about limos.
It's what you talk about in the limos, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole basis behind it is I own my own limousine company, So it's like we're in a limousine. We play music in the background, so the driver, Trev's the driver, and we're four idiots in the back making fun of people. You know, we do Mr. Lowe, if you never heard. Not again, we do Mr. Lowe. We got a guy that does Mr. Lowe to the T.
Really? Really?
I swear to God, from payments to getting money from him to Trev getting yelled at, I'm telling you.
All right. We're going to check it out, man. We're going to find out about that.
Yeah, appreciate you calling in.
I'm glad. You guys sound great. The show's fantastic. I caught it last week and this week, or if it was 2 weeks ago because I had the baby. Good luck to you guys. I hope somebody calls me. If you go to my site, limotalkbraz.com, it'll show you how to get in touch with me.
You will certainly hear from us.
Yes.
You will.
Thanks, Montague. You guys great. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right.
So, Montague.
Yes.
That was actually kind of awesome.
I would like to go one further and call him the Count of Montague.
Count of Montague.
Wow.
Of Monkey Crystal.
I have no way to segue from that to what we're going to talk about this week.
Just go around and just stop segueing. It's a lost art anyway.
So
as Montague said before, do it.
Do it.
So this week we're going to be talking about keeping a status quo.
I don't want to talk about that.
What would you like to talk about, Montague?
I'd like to break the status quo and talk about something other than the status quo.
What? What I find interesting is that the people that we love so much, our
I love
audience,
no one
listening audience.
Wow.
Oh.
They always are asking for more. They always want evolutionary character. They always want something hip and fresh. And yet, you would think about something such as perhaps The Simpsons, where what they want is the status quo, which they want to keep everything as it is from the concept. So the idea I'm asking the audience here today is it more important to keep the status quo of whatever property you have, such as Batman, Superman, as in Superman should always be, you know, has a suit of powers, Lois Lane is a reporter, they don't get married, or should they have an evolution of a character?
Yes, the character should evolve just before the story ends.
Before the story ends, they should evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're dealing with properties, most likely, that are on a continual basis, such in comic books,
then no.
Then they shouldn't change at all.
Mm-mm.
So then what's the point of keeping going back to it then?
I guess the word you can use is pathology. It's just the ongoing dynamic of the relationships in whatever story that's compelling enough to keep people coming back over and over again. If you shift the relationships, you're going to change the dynamic of the story, and you're going to alter people's perception of the story, and then they're either going to love it more, which is rare, or they're going to not like it, which is more common, which is why that's dangerous.
So what do you think, Caitlin?
I think, as with anything else, you have to find a good balance. You know, with the TV show, it's a little different, because unlike The Simpsons, most TV shows end within a 10-year period or less.
Right.
So I think in that case, you need your characters to evolve and grow, especially if it's not a cartoon, because, you know, if they don't, it's a little ridiculous and redundant.
Well, take a look at 90210 when they brought that back, or even Dallas is coming back with a new show.
Mm-hmm.
People want, you know, JR to be the bad guy. They want Bobby to be the good guy. So realistically, there is no evolution of those characters.
Well, I mean, That's an interesting point when you're talking about reboots. I don't know. Yeah, I think if you're bringing something back, I have issues with bringing things back a lot of the time.
So don't bring it back at all.
I say if it was done well the first time, I don't really see the point in bringing it back, because you are evolving it for it. You know, instead of letting it evolve naturally in nature, you're putting it in a lab and putting it through all these weird transformations, basically. That's how I feel about reboots. Like, 90210, I feel like it was pretty much a last-ditch effort to come up with a new show for the new season that was going to attract a lot of viewers very easily, which, of course, it did initially.
And then
it didn't evolve at all from where it started.
Right.
So, but that's the thing, is you can't bring something back and expect it to evolve naturally, because it's not going to, because it already did the first time. It's going to have to be forced the second time around, I think.
All right. What about you, Charlie? What do you think? Which is better, to have a evolution of a character or just try to keep the status quo?
Well, I don't know, Mark. No, actually, I can give you two examples of not keeping the status quo and just excelling a character's character, actually. If you remember Happy Days, in the beginning of Happy Days, Fonzie was like just a one-second thing. He would do something, you know, like hit the
jukebox
and that's it would go true. On. And people wanted more. So they had to evolve that character, and he became the show until he jumped the shark.
Literally.
Okay?
Literally.
And then people, people didn't want that. As far as bringing back a show, I think the only successful show they brought back, and they changed characters, they kept the same names, but they changed the characters, was Hawaii Five-0. That is a big hit. And Kono is, who was this big husky guy on the front, is now this petite young lady. And Grace Parks, right? Or Park, I don't know what.
One Park.
Yeah. And, Chin Ho is a younger version, and Dano is totally off the wall, and McGarrett is, but it works. McGarrett is the closest to the other character they come, but it all works.
Do you think it works because it's Hawaii Five-0, or just because this is a great cast, great writing, great chemistry between the characters? Because it could be called, something completely different and still be a
think,
good show.
I think it's great writing. It's the way they, actually, I hate to use this word, but the way they segue into one show to another and always bringing back little things that happen in two shows back. And if you're a fan, you appreciate that. Like, I'm a total fan of that show. And I think the writing has a lot to do with it. I think they were so brilliant because they wrote a totally different character. They wrote totally different characters, and yet they didn't. That's how brilliant they are. They make you like the characters like we all like McGarrett and Jack Lord and everybody, and they make you get into, they give them histories and they make you get into it, which on the original Hawaii Five-0, never got really into the histories of McGarrett or anything like that. They were just detectives, and they did every show. Here, backgrounds, all types of things about the characters, and you learn to love them.
So that actually goes to what I was saying, as how the show, the original Hawaii Five-0, lasted quite a long time, and it was just the status quo. No matter what happened, at the end, they were still detectives. They just solved the mystery, and then they carried on.
Right.
So even if that show was so evolved, you think it would be as popular? Or if people like, Law and Order, it's just, it's just the you go back to the status quo. This is going back to where we are. So what is the secret? What is the answer to that?
Good writing. Good writing, intelligent writing, and somebody who knows what the people's going to buy and what they're going to say, I'm not buying that. Forget it. It's like, for example, the worst, the one that didn't even get started, Wonder Woman,
right.
Number one, they started changing everything about Diana Prince, and down to the outfit. And then the one that just went off the air faster than Grant took Richmond was Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
So
I actually saw a couple of episodes of that, and it was...
Right.
There was just no point. It really has no cultural relevance now because, mm-hmm. There's women who are gun-toting, tough guys.
It's not a novelty.
It's not a novelty anymore. So, you could see that you could turn on a sitcom and see that. So, it's just not, it's not exploitation anymore. which is what arguably the original Charlie's Angels was. It was very, very clever exploitation, but it was exploitation. And you can't really exploit women any more than every other genre that's
really
out there.
Up the ante.
Yeah, exactly.
Exploit women.
Yeah, and then it's porn, and then it's not going to be on Channel 7 well.
And the biggest one, Baywatch. Let us not forget that.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, yeah, and then Baywatch Nights.
And then
well done.
Chandler's great line from Friends. Always keep them running.
But arguably, a Baywatch was one of the most popular shows in the entire
world. That's what I'm saying. It works with the status quo. I have a counterpoint to Charlie's example of Happy Days, because Fonzie came on. Happy Days, the first season, Fonzie was just kind of a side note. And the show didn't take off until they realized that Henry Winkler was, they realized the talent that he was, and he was a draw. And then they evolved the show around him, and then the show. But then after that, the status quo was Fonzie can do anything. You know, Fonzie's infallible. And up until he became a superhero, in which case they had to end the show. But that's inevitable. That's going to happen eventually. But then there's where you have the evolution. You finally push it over that line, and then it ends because it cannot sustain itself anymore. So, like, even Hawaii 5-0 is a great show. I haven't watched it. I hear it's a great show. I don't dispute that. And it's not that I'm not interested. I just keep forgetting it's on and I'm like, whatever. But the seed to that show's end is being written in the way it's being done, because if it's done well, and it's writing and it's developing characters, and you're delving into their inner personal lives and whatever, eventually it's going to write itself to a conclusion. Because there will be a fine line where it should end here, regardless of how many years it's been going, depending on how well it's written. So maybe they wanted 10 years out of it and they got to 4 before they hit their peak, and if they try for 5, they're not even going to get a 6. Or if they write it clever enough, it can go to 10, but it's going to have to end. And the problem with our understanding of television from
keep it going.
From where we were growing up, it's got to go on as long as humanly possible until such time as we all get tired of it and it ends. And then people consider, well, the last, like Cheers. Cheers went on for 10 years.
Right.
People were like, well, the last 5 years were terrible. Well, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, then why were people watching it? You know, it's nothing can sustain its level of quality. That's why people kind of go back to the norm all the time. That's why, you know, Gilligan and the Skipper, they all wear the same clothes, and you know, it's inevitable that needs to happen. That dynamic needs to happen so that people can come back to it on a regular basis and trust what they're seeing and trust the stimuli that they're receiving, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I think that in terms of comic books and movies and certain TV shows, in terms of reboots, there are things that can be rebooted, and it's awesome when they come back, and there are things that just need to be left alone. And 90210, to me, is a pretty good example of things that can be left alone, because, I mean, you have Gossip Girl and One Tree Hill and basically almost any other show on the CW during prime time during a weeknight that can replace the aesthetic of 90210 that was relevant in the 80s and early 90s and, you know, no longer really applies, but you know, that's applied to this generation with Gossip Girl. And then you have certain superheroes and comic books that, you know, you see them in the 50s and they're super campy, and then they went through the 60s and 70s and had a new edge to them, and you keep wanting to bring them back because you keep that same status quo but bring in new elements that are very modernized and relevant to this age, because they're a type of story that is a classic and has a relevant message or character to any age, any generation, maybe even any century.
But by doing that, isn't that cheating your audience? Isn't that shortchanging them?
I don't think necessarily, because, you know, if you have a character that really lasts and you are able to keep bringing it back, I don't really think the small changes matter. Like, some people weren't very fond of Catwoman's whole goggle look, but It just sort of fits in with the millennium aesthetic, which is why I think they did it. I don't think it was necessary, but it's something that maybe they thought more people could relate to, and the fact that she's still a relevant character is the important thing.
It looks a little less campy, too. I mean, because just to have her in a costume, people, so you slap on the... You slap on the goggles and it turns the entire outfit utilitarian.
Yeah,
like there's a purpose for it. There's a reason why she's doing it.
Not like the henchmen with the signs on their chest.
Yes, with the Rocco and Bob. I agree with her. Reboots are completely different though. Reboots are that's kind of what I'm saying. And then it's there's kind of an extra edge to it. You can reboot something. Especially something from the 50s, like you can take Batman and reboot it, and it can work. And some would argue it needs to, because of Adam West. And so I don't get into comparisons, but even in the reboot, as what I'm saying, it will whatever you do will try to establish its own, seek its own level,
right.
Mm-hmm. and then maintain that level for however long the reboot lasts. But there's no status quo to reboot because it's in complete defiance of of the status quo, of I'm going to take this and I'm going to reshuffle around, but I'm going to establish a new status quo with it. Exactly.
Well, I was thinking about what you were saying, Charlie, about the Fonzie, and then when you were saying to bring it back. There's a character, perfect example, Family Matters, became the Urkel show,
right?
And then when it became all about him. It was a status quo that he did something wacky every week, and you can, come back, and don't see a couple episodes, come back, and it's the same thing. And it was incredibly popular. So much mind-boggling popular.
Then they jumped the shark when they put the son and him in college together.
Yeah, they changed it. They evolved it.
They changed the
setting.
They changed it away from the family.
Right.
Which, Family Matters.
Didn't matter anymore.
Now it doesn't.
No. Yeah.
Now it doesn't.
A Three's Company, Three's a crowd.
Right.
You see that didn't work. Every time they try to alter, the dynamic. I mean, sometimes it works. Angel was a credible spinoff.
Yes.
But it could be done because basically Angel could be the exact same thing as Buffy, but from a different perspective.
Mm.
So it could exist in the same universe and still kind of draw off of that popularity. Mm. And plus, they had network pull, so they could put it on back to back. So it was
ultimate.
Yeah.
Networking. Well. I was going to mention Buffy, actually, because I think, I read an article about how Buffy became two different shows aside from even Angel, and Angel just kind of expanded on that universe, and it was almost having, comic book come to television, because you really branched out and explored all these different characters and how they were involved in the Hellmouth and Evil and that sort of thing. But it also touched upon how... basically, at the end of season 3, Buffy had reached its episodic peak, and they had gone through that status quo of every episode, there's this one villain that they fight, and the Scooby Gang, comes together, and they defeat it, and then the next few seasons, it's really...
Greed.
The whole season is this huge story and narrative, and it's, each episode isn't necessarily the best thing, but... Each season has a little bit more meaning in general because it's just a wider scope.
And that's kind of an exception to the rule in it, or it can be done.
Right.
An exception to the rule, because what you would do is you would have, if you have an ensemble cast and where your main focus is basically the one lead, you have these satellite characters that kind of evolve around the lead. What you can do as an evolution, which is what I think that Buffy didn't do, was you can now start to develop the satellite characters so that Buffy can kind of remain the same and continue to do what she does, and that story keeps on the track, so you have your status quo. But you're upping the ante every few weeks or every few months with some kind of different nuance in the other characters, and those characters never really evolved beyond what they were from season one.
Basically, like little things.
Yeah, I mean, you turn one into a lesbian. You turn, and a witch, and you rip someone else's eye out, and that's supposed to be signs that things are changing and things are getting heavier. But it's not really characterization. Whereas Angel did that. Angel actually developed every one of those characters. They were forced to.
Right.
That was my. That's my. We're getting real geek territory. That's my contention that Deep Space Nine was always better than the Star Trek: The Next Generation, because they were stuck on this in this one place. Couldn't so they had nowhere. No choice but to develop even the people at the bar had their own backstory by the end of 7 years, and that's what made it a richer rewatch. Like if you watch it again. It's a more enriching experience than just plain nostalgic.
So does it make it, for rewatchability, is it easier or harder to come back to a show to just watch any particular episode if they don't maintain a status quo during this entire major arc? Doesn't that make it more difficult for rewatchability?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your rewatch, if it doesn't maintain the status quo, I can almost guarantee you this happens every time. If it doesn't maintain the status quo and evolve, whatever you watch when you come to it, that's going to be around the last 5 or 6 episodes. And then suddenly it's going to vanish, you know? And it's going to, we always expected to bring it to, like Battlestar Galactica, we always expected to bring it to an end, you know? It's like, no, you didn't. You had a 6-year arc and you got to 4. So you blew it. It's over. But whenever they kind of dabble, when they tweak it to change things, it never works. You know, Galactica 1980, Sequest 2012, or whatever that was, 2014. Whenever they, you know, they change the name of the show to something else. Love and Curses. I remember that was one of my favorite.
She Woke Up
London. Yeah, and they just alter things out of nowhere. And okay, you know, this is their last season, so just sit back and enjoy the ride.
So the question now is, which is the better route to take for our show? Should they maintain the status quo, try to get rewatchability, try to get people to come back as much as possible, to expect every week, no matter what happens, this guy's going to be, this is how that guy's going to be, wacky stuff's going to happen, and comedies most likely. For dramatic TV, I would say it's more of an arc evolution. But for comedies, got to keep the same beats all the time. So is it just the genre that makes it different, or should it be overall? Wow. I stunned the audience.
We're thinking.
No. Well, you know, it's whatever formula works. There are people watching in the TV business, because I was in the TV business, and there's people that get paid a lot of money to really, really take every show apart, see who's watching it, see what kind of a share they got, see, they go out there, they ask about characters, and they change according to what the public wants. Sometimes they change what the director wants, and that goes right downhill, but there are people who are out there, and they actually work for the show in the background, trying to make it stay. Like you were saying about comedies, and Hassan said they developed Fonzie's character because they saw a public, you know, the public actually loving this guy. There was people out there listening from the shows, listening, saying, you know, oh my God, people like this character, let's, you know, evolve and stuff like that. So it's whatever works. The idiots that make these shows that they just nosedive, those are the ones that don't care what the people say, and they think they're creative enough to carry this stuff, and you know. So I mean, that's my opinion, and that's all I have to say about it. Back to you, Mark.
So I think that I think I answered my question earlier, that it depends on the genre, it depends on what you should do.
Right.
Mm. I think a perfect example would be Supernatural. That was a great evolution from the beginning to season 5. It was a great story that ended perfectly, and then they said, well, we want more money. We want to bring back the status quo of the Monster of the Week, and then they're doing a 6th season, which isn't as good. I mean, they're doing the best they can, but after you watch that whole chunk of an arc, and it worked out so well, they kept on getting higher the ante, the characters are great, writing was decent, and you got to the end, and now you're continuing it with the status quo. I think it hurts. But for a comedy, much like The Simpsons, they want to keep as much of the status quo as possible.
Well, their status quo is humor, so you gotta be funny. You know, you gotta keep the status. Yeah,
well,
then we're gonna turn into a drama now. You know, I'm pretty sure the ratings would fall off.
All right, so we got less than 2 minutes. We're going to do some final thoughts. Charlie, final thought?
No.
Oh, you're done with your final thought?
I'm done. I'm spent. Go ahead.
All right, Hassan.
I think the next evolution is just understanding that it needs to be less industrious. You need to have the more of an approach of that the UK has, where everything is finite. It's not expected to last for 10, 15 years. And just concentrate on every year being a particular story, and if it really is successful, just do another story. But I think that would be going in a better direction than the status quo.
Caitlin?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, in terms of marketing, yeah, sure, keep it going and change anything as long as you have like one or two good seasons and you have enough of a fan base, you can do whatever you want. But in terms of actually having a good story and a good ending and closure, then I think you need to practically lay out where your show was going to end and where you wanted to end. I think the issue is people don't have an ending in mind. They really only have a beginning, and that's kind of a flaw in writing, I think.
I agree.
So I guess that's why the show is very unscripted, so that's why we can go on forever.
Yes.
And get rid of reality shows, please, folks.
So yes. That about does it for this week on It Came From Radio.
Join us say anything
right here and every week on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go on to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com, and listen to us there. And the archive should be up in a week or so, and we'll see you next week, Wednesday, 9 o'clock.
Take it easy.
Thank you.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.